his life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Good morning. We are here this morning to celebrate something. We're here to celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. And we've celebrated his life in singing this morning. And we've celebrated his life in the fellowship that we have one with another. And now we come to the time where we're going to celebrate the life of Christ in the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. And then we have a time set aside afterwards. We're also going to celebrate the life of Christ as we remember what he did for sinners on the cross in communion today. I want you to remember that Paul wrote this passage back to the Thessalonians because he wants to remind them that he loves them. He wants them to know that he loves them and he has a real concern for them. And as we consider that, by way of reminder, that this is what we want to remember as we enter into a season where we're going to be looking at a church plant. Let's begin with prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. We thank you, Lord, for providing every one of our needs. And we thank you, Lord God, that our greatest need of all, that of the forgiveness of our sins, has been made possible by the life of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to celebrate his life today. Help us to honor and worship him by hearing your word and being changed. We thank you and praise you, and we ask that your Spirit would move and work in our hearts and minds this morning, helping us to set aside the cares and concerns that each and every one of us bring with us, so that we might hear what you have to say and be changed by it. And as Nathan said, Lord, not that we would only hear your word, but that we would be changed by it and be doers of your word. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, as you look at this text and consider this text that Chris just read for us, I don't want you to think about this from the Thessalonians' point of view. I don't want you to think about this from the church's point of view or the church's perspective, a new growing church there in Thessalonica. I don't want you to look at it from that direction. What I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to see this text from Paul's perspective this morning. From Paul's perspective, and even those who are with Paul, part of the church planning team, I want you to think about this passage, this text this morning, as a church planner, or a member of a church planning team, or a member of a church planning church. I want you to see it from that point of view this morning. We have on our 7-year calendar the possibility. We're looking at planning a church. Hopefully by next year, 2019, we're going to be planning a church. And there are some very clear principles, some very clear truths here in this passage that should govern our thinking. They should be weighed in on. They should be the framework for how we look at what we're going to do when we plan a church next year. We only have so much time this morning, so we're going to go through these 12 verses rather quickly, and we're going to look at least there's much more here. There's a lot of information here, and there's a lot of principles and truths, but we're going to look at least 6 truths, 6 principles that should govern our thinking as we consider what part we're going to play in the church plant. I want you to start thinking about that right now. It's not till next year. In March, we're going to announce who the church planter is going to be. The church plan is going to take place next year. But even now, I want you to begin thinking about what part you are going to play in it. Are you going to be a part of the church planning team? We're going to ask some family, some people to leave Lakeside and go with the church planner. Is your role to remain back here and support in whatever way you can find? But I want you to begin asking yourself, what role am I going to play in the church plant? And these truths and principles that we find in these 12 verses should govern your thinking as you consider, what am I going to do? Like I said, there's a number of principles this passage has, but we're only going to have time to really look at six of them. Then the first one we find there in verses 1 and 2. So we're going to go through these rather quickly. Look with me again at verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." In the midst of much conflict. Our first principle this morning, the first truth that we find in these first two verses is this. We are to preach and live the gospel no matter what happens. Preach and live the gospel no matter what happens. Look again there at verse 2. Paul notes for them, he says, "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know." Philippi was the town Paul was in and his team was in before they came to Thessalonica, where he and Silas were arrested, stripped, beaten severely, shackled, and thrown into jail. For Paul and his team, preaching the gospel and planting churches brought persecution and trouble. They'd go from one town to the next, and he would go in, they would preach the gospel, plant a church, persecution and trouble would come, they'd move on to the next town, and the same thing would happen there. Paul knew that. He knew going into each town that preaching the gospel and planting churches was going to bring persecution. He knew it was going to bring trouble. He knew it was going to bring pain and suffering. Satan is always going to try to get in the way of the gospel being preached, of churches being planted. And that's something we have to remember, no matter what community it is that we go into with this church plant next year. Number one, we have to preach and live the gospel no matter what happens. We might not see the same kind of persecution Paul saw as he traveled around preaching the gospel. But there's going to be problems. There's going to be people who are going to get in the way. There's going to be circumstances. There's going to be hurdles. Satan is always, he's going to try to get in the way. Paul knew that. He knew the preaching of the gospel and the planting of churches was going to bring conflict and persecution. But he did it anyway. Why? Why would he continue to do that knowing what it was going to bring? Because that was the mission given to him by our master. That was what he was told to do. That's the job, that's the mission Paul was given to accomplish. That's how he was to spend the rest of his life. And really, it's no different for us. We've been given the same mission. We here at Lakeside, each and every one of us, if we're a born-again believer, if we're a Christian, if we call Jesus Christ Lord and Master, we've been given the same mission. Look at Matthew 28. Should have it on the screen here. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is the mission. This is what Paul was given to do. This is what the disciples were given to do. This is what we here at Lakeside have been given to do. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages. That's the reason why Paul did it. We have to preach and live the gospel no matter what happens. Remember that. Start thinking about that in view of your own life, even now. What role am I going to play in this upcoming church plant? Whatever role, you have to remember to preach and live the gospel no matter what happens. Look at the second principle. You see it in verses 3 and 4. Paul continues. He says, for our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. And listen to what he says here. Not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. The second truth, the second principle we need to think about as we consider what our role is going to be in this church plant is this. Our effort must come from a desire to please God and not man. Our effort must come from a desire to please God and not to please man. We have to remember something. This is God's work we are entering into. This is God's gospel we're going to take to some community somewhere. The church planter, whoever that is. The church planting team, whoever that is. For the church planting church, that's us. Our desire must spring, or our efforts must spring from a desire to please God rather than to please man. We're not just checking off a box here. We're not just saying, okay, we completed another item on our 7-year plan. The desire must be to please God. This is God's work we're entering into. In fact, this is going to be God's church plant. The church planter, the church planting team, and for the church planting church, we have to resist the temptation to be overly seeker sensitive and not God sensitive. What does God want? What does God will? What pleases God? As a church planting church, we have been entrusted with His gospel in some community that is His community for the upbuilding of His kingdom. In fact, we have to be so serious, we have to think so much about who we're seeking to please, because whoever it is that we seek to please actually defines who we are. Who we seek to please defines who we are. Note what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul said this, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? That's a rhetorical question. Paul's always seeking to please God. He says, or am I trying to please man? Notice what he says here. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Do you see that? If we go into this church plant seeking to please man, someone else, something else, Paul would say, you are not a servant of Christ. Our efforts must come from a desire to please God and not man. That first truth again, preach and live the gospel no matter what happens, and then our efforts must come from a desire to please God and not man. What is going to be your role in this church plant? Start even thinking now, our efforts must come from a desire to please God. That's where all this has to spring out of. Look at our next principle. We see it in verses 5 and 6. Paul says there, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." Notice the language he continues to use, "as you know, you remember." Remember, he's trying to remind these people of his conduct there in Thessalonica. Paul was there to preach the gospel and plant a church. And he wants the Thessalonians to know he sincerely loves them and cares about them. And he reminds them of his conduct while he was with them. As a church planting church, or as a church planter, we have to be cognizant of our conduct wherever we plant this church. These truths and these principles from God's word need to define who we are and what this church plan is going to look like. So here in verses 5 and 6, we see the third principle. And that's this: don't seek gain or glory from people. Seek people. Don't seek gain or glory from people. Seek people. The church planter's reward and the church planting team's reward is not to be found in anything they can gain from the people they are trying to reach. The reward is not to be found by what they can get from the people they are trying to reach. The salvation of souls is their reward. Not what they can get from people, but the people themselves. The salvation of their very souls. Don't seek gain or glory from people, seek people. Paul and those with him, there in Thessalonica and Philippi and Berea and all the towns they visited, they weren't seeking financial gain from anybody. They weren't seeking to see what they could get out of somebody. It wasn't financial gain, it wasn't power, it wasn't influence, it wasn't notoriety. Paul wasn't in Thessalonica so he could get a street named after him. He was there to see the souls of men and women and boys and girls be saved. Paul's desire was that people would repent from their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. Money, influence, recognition, those things have no spiritual or eternal value whatsoever. It is the souls of people that matter. Drop all the way down here in chapter 2 down to verses 19 and 20. And look what Paul says later. He wants the people to know he has a true love and care and concern for them. Paul wasn't there just trying to get something from them. He wanted to see them saved. Verse 19, Paul says this: "For what is our hope or joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." For Paul, it wasn't what he could get from anybody. It was to see those people saved. That was his reward. Paul wasn't there to get money. He wasn't there to get jewels. He saw the salvation of souls as jewels. So as we consider our role in this church plant, don't seek gain or glory from people. Seek people. Look at verses 7 through 9. Paul goes on. He says, "But we were gentle among you." I love this metaphor. It's a beautiful metaphor. It's a very powerful metaphor. "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. That's a very powerful metaphor. It's beautiful, isn't it? That of a mother. Our fourth principle is this. Love and nurture those you are seeking. So whatever community it is that we're going to go into, we should even now be thinking, whatever role, whatever part we're going to play in this church plant, is that I am going to love and nurture those we are seeking. Paul uses this picture of a mother. Because a mother, a good mother, loves her children, doesn't she? You moms. Mothers love their children. They long for their children. I've watched my wife over the years, the 30 plus years, with her children. A mother loves her children. She gives and gives and gives and then gives more. A mother sacrifices for her children. A mother literally pours her life into the life of her children. That's what a mother does. And that's why Paul uses it as a picture to describe the conduct of he and his church planting team there in Thessalonica. He truly loves the people there. He cares about them. He's concerned about their future. When a church plants another church, it means not only sharing the gospel, but sharing themselves. When the church planter goes and the church planting team goes into the community, wherever that might be, they're surely going to share the gospel. They're going to give the gospel, but they're also to give and share their very selves, to pour their life into the life of other people. Love and nurture those that you are seeking. That's why they call it a mother church. A mother church is going to give birth to another church. And that planting church, that mother church, is going to be called upon to give of itself. We gave. You see this building? This is such a huge blessing. We as a church came together as one body, unified in mind and spirit. And we gave and we did what was necessary. And God, through us, brought this about. So now we have a base of operations to operate from to see that the gospel is planted in other areas. It's time now for us to start thinking about looking outward, seeing the gospel taken into a community where maybe it isn't there yet. Start thinking right now, what is my role going to be in this thing? And I have to be thinking about loving and nurturing those that we are seeking, whoever they may be. Number five, look at verse 10. Paul says there, you are witnesses. So he's reminding them again. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. The next principle, the next thing I want you to think about is this. We are to live a holy, uncompromising life above reproach. Paul reminds them, he says, you're witnesses, God also. Paul reminds them that he and his church planting team were models of virtue. That's what we're called to be for the world. Models of virtue. I know how difficult that is. I'm a human being. I know how difficult and hard that is. But that's what we're called to do. God called his people over and over and over again. Look at Leviticus 11:44. God says there to his people, and this is quoted again and again in the New Testament, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." Paul reminds the Thessalonians that his conduct and the conduct of those with him was holy and above reproach there in Thessalonica. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to preach the gospel if you were living unholy lives, compromised lives, lives that were reproachable? How we live, what we say, what we do, how we conduct ourselves with each other and the world outside has an impact on how people hear what we say. How the church planner treats his family is going to say something to the community he's trying to reach. How the mother church treats the daughter church is going to say something to the community about the gospel. Or at least the impact that it's had on our lives. The gospel is meant to be declared, yes. But the gospel is also meant to be lived for people to see. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul says there, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Now look what he says next. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Paul says, you know how we conducted ourselves. You saw how we treated each other. You know how we treated you. Because their lives proclaimed the gospel as well as their lips. They lived a holy, uncompromising life above reproach. That's who we're called to be. Number 6, our last one. We see it in verses 11 and 12. And what I'd like you to do, we only talk about 6 of these principles that are found there. There's more. There's a lot more in this passage. Spend some time this week rereading this passage. Look at it from the church planning perspective and how it's going to impact you as you consider what role you're going to play. Because every single one of us are going to have some role to play in it. Verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Again, Paul reminds them. And he uses a father metaphor this time. A father. He uses a fatherly metaphor. Because Paul knows a good father comes alongside his children, leading them, encouraging them, teaching them, even challenging them to follow his example as he follows Christ. As a father, we're called to follow Christ and encourage and teach and call our children, challenge our children to follow us as we follow Christ. That's what a father does. That's what a church planting team does. That's what a church planner does. That's what a church who plants churches does. Goes into a community and calls people to follow them as they follow Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Adam talked about this last week. Paul, a number of times, calls on people to follow him, not because he's being braggadocious or thinks he's all that or that he's made it there. You can read in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I have not attained it yet. I'm still reaching for it. But Paul knew who he was following. He had a clear picture of who Christ was and what Christ had given him to do. So Paul could say without bragging, follow me as I follow him. Here he tells the Corinthians, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Do we see Christ clear enough? And are we following him clearly enough so that we can call people to join with us? Follow me as I follow him. As a church planting church, we're to call, encourage others to follow us as we follow Christ. A church planting church is not only to take Jesus to others, but now get this. A church planting church is not only called to bring Jesus to others, but be Jesus to others. That's what it means to imitate Christ. All these principles we've talked about this morning, all six of these, and there's more, describe the person of Christ. Go through the Gospels, look at his ministry. You'll see each one of these principles in his own life. And that's who we're called to imitate. We're going to go into a community, we're going to ask people to follow us as we follow Christ. Even now, begin asking yourself, what am I going to do? What part am I going to play in this church plant? We're going to close with this. It's not going to be on the screen. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah the prophet in the throne room, he has a vision. He's in the throne room of God, and he sees God high and lifted up. Isaiah 6, verse 8. This is Isaiah speaking. He says, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Isaiah hears God asking, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responds, Here I am, send me. Is that you this morning? God is still calling people to go take his word to people who do not yet know him. To people who do not know Christ and the forgiveness of their sins. God is still calling people to do that. That is still our mission as a church. Do you hear him calling? Can you be one of those people this morning that says, Here I am, send me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.